Well, thanks, Linda. That was great. Just turn this on. Sorry, I didn't turn it on too soon and now I can't pick it up. There it is. I'm a going. Good. Well, it's so good to be here this morning. It's good to see Susan visit us with us this morning, and we're glad that you've been able to come and to join us. And I think this new series that we're doing, the Practices of Faith, will really help us all to grow in our faith and relationship with Jesus. And by the time we get to Easter, we'll be all the richer for having looked at these topics. Phil explained last week that the focus in our church has been that we teach Lent principles 366 days of the year. And it's just good to remind ourselves of that and to know the power of these things. They're not just for this period, but they are for all of our days. And last week we looked at confession, and I was especially encouraged by seeing confession clearly taught in the Psalms. And someone in our Bible study group through the week made the comment, these verses that we were looking at are 3,000 years old, but what is spoken of is so relevant for us today. Mankind and our heart needs have not changed in all those years. How amazing is that? And this week we're going to do giving. Now, I've just had a birthday last month, and what a special time that was. I did receive gifts and cards and Facebook greetings and notes, and it was really, really special. And I have to say that the value of the gifts varied hugely from a handwritten little note from one of my grandchildren to some very lovely, expensive gifts. But I want to tell you this. I don't rate gifts on their monetary value. But the thought that's gone into the gift by the giver and the words that they write on the card. And I think you'll understand that, don't you? There's something very special about that as we think about gifts. I wonder, do you realize that God longs to give you gifts? And he gives them so generously. And just to top off my thought on gifts, when I came to church this morning, I received a gift. Is it a birthday gift? No. It's just a special love gift. So how precious is that? And I'll look forward to opening that up when I get home today. So gifts can come when we least expect it, and that's really special as we think about giving from God. My thoughts today, however, have gone to the Psalms to find out how God gives. And in recent months, I've been thinking about Psalm 23, such a well-known Psalm of David, but I could not help but see God's generous giving to us in so many ways. It starts off in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God provides for us in so many ways. And we can, when we understand that, we will want for nothing. We can trust God for the essentials in life. I shall not want this. The psalm goes on to say, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, if you were a sheep, and that's the picture language that comes out in Psalm 23, there'd be no better place to rest than in a green pasture where you had food and you could eat safely all day. I shall not want a drink. Oh, sorry, I should have done that. Let me go back. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, for the sheep, this was what they needed: quiet waters, not gushing and bubbling water where their face would get wet as they drank, but quiet waters. And I love the way that it is the shepherd who leads the sheep to find those things. This is a beautiful picture of God giving to us the necessities of life, and he knows our needs. I shall not want forgiveness. He restores my soul. The psalmist now speaks directly to the needs of people, not just the sheep. Forgiveness comes when we repent, as we heard last week. And I'd really encourage you to check out that message from last week if you missed out on hearing it, or you really need to process a whole lot more the forgiveness of your sin and how God deals with that. I shall not want guidance, because he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And how good it is to know and to have God guiding you each day. We hear people crying out all around us, wanting to know what to do, where to go, unsure of life. And yet, as a Christian with a personal faith in Jesus Christ, I know that God will lead us in paths of right living. That's what he wants to give us. And I shall not want companionship, because he goes on to say in that psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. On Friday, I was talking to a young man who had a holiday planned, a long-awaited holiday in Queensland. And he got into the area in around the Tweed Heads area, and he got caught up very much in the flood during that period. He had to make a very long detour up through the hills to get back to the Gold Coast Airport to be able to fly home. And he told me, he said, Kay, I was so anxious and concerned. And yet he said, in a very deep way, I sense God's care and protection over me and his presence with me as I had to drive through the floodwaters and in a higher path. So you can imagine the pressure that was putting on him. He knew the reality of God's companionship with him in that really dark place. I shall not want for comfort. God says, your rod and your staff will comfort me. Well, back to the sheep, they knew that the rod and the staff would care for them when they faced tough times. The shepherd would use his crook, turn it round and hook the sheep out when it got caught someplace and lift the sheep to safety. And that brought comfort. And God still today brings comfort to his people when they have intense times of need. I shall not want for food. The psalmist goes on to say that you prepare, that's God, preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When life is hard going, a meal with a friend sustains us in so many ways. That's why we deliver food to someone when they need some encouragement. And you know, it doesn't matter what that food is. It's the fact that it's been prepared with love, delivered with love, and it will bring great love and comfort to that person at that time. And God uses that to bless people. I shall not want for joy. You anoint my head with oil, the psalmist said. You know, anointing with oil was a sign of the Holy Spirit's presence. And the oil did make the face to shine. And joy too in the Old Testament is associated with oil. And God is the one giving that joy. And I shall not want for blessings. My cup overflows. Now, I have to say that sometimes my cup does overflow at home. I'm a bit of a rascal. I put the coffee machine on, I turn the coffee on, and I think I've got time now to just slip away and do another little job. And I've kind of got it worked out time-wise, but there are times when I'm a bit too slow. And when I get back, my cup surely is overflowing and all that good coffee is going into the drip tray and it's going to be turfed out. That's not the sort of overflowing blessings that God is talking about here. He's talking about the blessings that are in our life, and when it flows over, it doesn't go to the drip tray. It goes to those around us that we can then share those blessings. I was thinking of that old song that I used to sing at church when I was a girl. Stop and count your blessings, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Counting your blessings is of great value. I have this painting in my bathroom. It just fits nicely on my bathroom shelf. And I am so encouraged that at least twice a day I read this. In the morning and at night when I'm cleaning my teeth and heading off to bed. And it was my granddaughter Esther who painted this for me and framed it and gave it to me some time ago. And the verse on it is Psalm 23 and verse 5. My cup overflows. And look at that cup and all of it flowing out. How rich that is. I have so many blessings in my life. And I am so thankful to God for them. And it's good to be reminded of those blessings on a daily basis. I shall not want for anything in this life. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I love the thought in this psalm, all the days of my life. Not just in the days when the sun is shining and when everything's going rosy and I'm feeling like it's good. I love the fact that in this psalm, he's talking about times of mourning and needing comfort. He's talking about being in dark places. He's talking about facing hardships and enemies and needing food to sustain him. And yet in the midst of that, God is there, giving us goodness and love. They're the things that we have with us every day. And I shall not want for anything in eternity. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a fact. God promises I will be in heaven one day, and what a gift that will be when he finally gives that to me. This is what David said we would find in the Good Shepherd. And we see all these things in Jesus, who personally speaks of each of them in the Gospels. And I'm just going to go through now, just looking, because there's so much of Jesus fulfilling all of these things in the New Testament. In fact, Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. So that's the great link to Psalm 23. And Jesus' words to us about rest are in Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all those who labor and are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I love the fact that it doesn't say what that rest will be. For some of us, that might be, oh, a long holiday, staying in bed all day, laying in a hammock, reading a book. God just says, I will give you rest. He knows your needs, and he will provide for that when that time comes. And you may be thirsty, and Jesus' words to us are so powerful. John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. This is not talking about a big, large cup that you might get in America. They're huge when you have a drink. It would last a very long time. No, this is spiritual thirst. If you've got a thirst and a longing, Jesus can quench those longings and meet you in your deepest needs. Forgiveness. Mark 2:10, Jesus' words, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And how good it is to know that you can experience forgiveness. The past you cannot change. But as you look to a new day, you can know that your guilt has been dealt with, and you can walk in God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness. What a gift that is. What a gift. And then it comes to guiding you. Jesus' words to us are in John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to guide us through his word. This is such a good gift that empowers us every day when we read and apply the truth that comes from the word of God. And when it comes to companionship, Jesus' final words that he said to his disciples was, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He is a friend that is always there, and you can always trust him. And when it comes to a comforter, again, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit, and he said, "It's good for you that I am going away, because unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you." Some versions have the comforter, some versions have the counselor, but that's the sort of person the Holy Spirit is. It's a great reminder to us that the Holy Spirit longs to speak to us and to be there for us in our deepest times of needs. And when it comes to hunger, Jesus said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry." This is not talking about a fill your plate up buffet that never ends. I think buffets are probably a thing of the past for a while. We just get dished up a plate now when we go out to dinner. And yet here we're taking our minds back to a hunger that refers to being connected with Jesus and his and relationship with him. When you know Jesus in your life, he will fill you in a way that you could never experience just by sitting at a table. And what about joy? Jesus' words to us are in John 16:24, "Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." We're not always happy chappies, are we? We can be miserable looking at our problems and not having a God awareness. Jesus longs for us to be joyful, to be full and overflowing with joy, because our values are eternal values and not based on the world's standards. And praying to God brings that joy to us. It's a different sort of a joy. It's a joy that is going to sustain you in those tough times of life. And what about overflowing blessings? Well, John 14:13 says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." You have a God who longs to bless you abundantly. And you need to come to him in prayer, and you need to commit those areas that are causing concern to you. Now, prayer is not a magic wand promising all that we ask for, but it is helping us as we pray to see the heart of Jesus, the heart of God, and to know what is the right thing in this given situation. And it will all be to bring glory to the Father. I'm glad God doesn't always answer my prayers. the way I pray, because I don't always see God's glory coming out in there. Someone shared a story with me early in church this morning of something that went wrong. And yet out of that, God enabled a rich experience for them to share. I think that's what this is all about. This is what it's explaining to us, that when we trust God, there will be blessings even when we can't see them. And I love the thought that goodness and love will indeed follow us all the days of our life. Now, Jesus said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. What were those things? Well, you have a look at Matthew chapter 6 and see. He's not talking about possessions. He's not talking about things, but rather he's talking about heart things. Things that will change the way you think and you do things, and your priorities are very strong in that passage. And finally in this thought, eternity with God. Jesus' words to us are so powerful in John 14 and verse 2. As I thought about this, my mum learnt these verses as a little girl at Sunday school. She lived to be 90 and she still remembered these verses. Powerful words in God's word. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Eternity is waiting and ready for us when that time comes. How precious is it to see that God meets all our needs and wants. And when you know and understand this, your heart and mind will be open to generously giving yourself. We are to excel in the grace of giving. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 to 9 clearly lists this out. We've been looking at Corinthians, and Paul spoke quite a bit about giving in Corinthians. What does it mean to excel in the grace of giving? I think the why question is actually answered in this passage. Not because you have to give. Isn't that beautiful? This is not a command that says you must give this or that and to follow it through to the law. But you give out to show your sincerity of love. That's the root part of giving, love. And then it takes us one step further at the wonderful example of Jesus Christ. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. I then find myself saying, God, what do you want me to give? And how am I to give? And so often when we think about giving, we think about money. And I want to say to you this morning, that's true. Yes, money does need at times to be given, but it's much, much bigger than money. Last month, we looked at serving and using our spiritual gifts to build up the church. When you are a generous giver and you are willing to use your gifts that God has given to you to bless others, then that flows right through the whole of the church in a very special way, because you're blessed and others are blessed. Someone said to me last month, yes, I'll take a turn on the welcoming roster. That was good news. And then they went on to say, and please, when you are in need, just ask me and I will fill in. That to me is generous giving. When we all use the spiritual gifts that God has blessed us with, it just overflows in such a rich way. Time is probably one of the most valued assets in our current world. You can't put a price on time. Many people are assets rich, but time poor. How about you? How would you rate your time? Do you find time to do what you want? I think deep down, we all know the answer to that question. Yes, we do. But what about when God gives a nudge? The Holy Spirit speaks to you and it says, make a phone call, follow up someone, pay them a visit, invite someone for a coffee. How generous will you be? I've had enough experience to know that when the Spirit prompts, I need to act. But I've got to be very honest this morning and say, I don't always follow through on the prompt. And you know what? I miss out on all that God planned for me. And I couldn't help but think of God. When I call out to God and ask for something or for a need, He doesn't treat me that way. He's listening all the time. He's responding. And I am so thankful for the people in my life that respond to those prompts and enrich me and encourage me in those times of need. And I'm thankful for their caring hearts and loving spirits. And what about possessions? Are we generous with them? I read this quote a few weeks back, nothing at all related to this, but it's really stuck with me. When you light a fire in a pit, others can stand around and be warmed. Try and pick up the fire and put it in your lap and you will get burnt. That's really spoken to me as I've pondered that, thinking about God's generosity and His blessings to me. If I try and keep things to myself and not share what I have, no matter what it might be, I will be the loser. When I think that because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want, then I can be generous. I can share what I have with others, because God knows all my needs and He will provide. I was deeply touched as I watched some film footage early in the week of those who had lost all their possessions in the Queensland and New South Wales floods. You saw the pile of their worldly wealth just being swept out and laying on the street, ready for a rubbish collection. I watched one interview with a lady who wept at the loss and then recalled what she had. Her family were all safe. She had amazing neighbours around her. She herself had lost all and could not get back into her home because it was still under water. And yet here she was in the street where she lived, helping those where the water had subsided to clean out their homes. She told the story of a lady who pulled up with breakfast for them all in the street. These people have nothing, no food. She then said another lady came and delivered spaghetti for lunch, and they all sat around and ate that together. They were all giving of what they had to support others. And it was this lady who had lost so much, yet was giving into the street where she lived. And you know, when we think about giving, it's so easy to say, oh, I only have such a little bit to give. Like, it's not worth giving. Our kids' song this morning honed in on that, about a woman that Jesus observed getting two small, tiny coins in the temple. And that would have been looked on as being totally insignificant. But Jesus knew this woman. He knew that she had given her all. And that was what mattered. Jesus said the rich give out of their wealth, but she has given out of her poverty. And today, 2,000 years on, we remember the spirit of giving. As I thought over this topic, I have kept coming back to think about giving, to think about all that God, all that Jesus Christ has given to you and to me. When I grasp that, I know I will be a generous giver so that others may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. I will help people freely. I will give generously. And when I use my spiritual gifts, I will be indeed richly blessed. May you have open heart, open hands, and truly think about all that God has given to you, and then it will flow.